The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Let's go!
Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Brady has his fifth. What a comeback.
Watson. Touchdown. Hunter Renfro. Little man makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to the max.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Hello, and welcome to another Football to the Max, the first Monday, Tuesday morning edition we've done actually in a while because stuff keeps happening where they don't happen. But this one is actually pretty special because sadly Eric is not here. He apparently, even though ironically the Dolphins were playing, he looks like he fell asleep early. But hey, in exchange we have the old man is back. Randy Isbell is here.
I am old.
How is it to be back on the podcast? It's been a whole year.
It's been a long time, and I'm excited. I'll see if I can remember how to do this. But I figured, you know, since the Jets didn't show up on Sunday, I should show up Monday night. And we all know Eric, you know, he fell asleep from excitement. I think he watched Monday Night Football with the rest of us, and his body went into shock. I mean, Jay Cutler out-dueled Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I don't think any of us would be believing that we'd say that today, right? Like, Jay Cutler's been okay. You know, I don't think he's been as bad as thinking people thought he could be. It helps when you have a Jarvis Landry and Kenyon Drake is kind of taking that role of being now the third running back and now the lead running back, and he was catching and rushing in this game. He was pretty much I'd say, aside from Xavier Howard, the player of the game, really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he definitely led the offense, as you said, doing it from both sides. I mean, receiving, rushing the ball. Some of the moves that he was making was just completely ridiculous, where you'd think he'd get stopped for a one-yard gain and he'd go out and get the first down. He does have that injury scare, but luckily he comes back in the game. But, yeah, to me, Xavier, whatever his last name was, I think it was number 25. I just kept cussing him out because I had Brandon Cooks in fantasy, and he was not allowing that to happen at all. But he was completely fantastic. It seemed like every time on third down, they would try to go to Cooks, and there was just nowhere to go. I mean, some of the plays he made, a couple of interceptions on deep bombs, one where he was three steps behind and came back. It just shows you that it doesn't matter how good you are. Playing a team twice in 3 weeks is extremely difficult, not only because they're going to come up even better the second time and try to not let you sweep the season series, but you kind of do get lethargic. Okay, it's a Monday night game. They're playing the Steelers next week, and even the great Tom Brady can, even though he won't say it, can take a team a little lightly, and then before you know it, you've gotten punched in the mouth a few times and you can't come back.
It's weird because, you know, the Dolphins have been a team that have actually played Brady pretty well in the past. And I think here what happened is that really just, you know, they knocked Brady off his game. It's good for Brady and the Patriots to have the off game this week and not in the game that, you know, is going to be hyped up to all hell between the, you know, the two leaders in the AFC next week, and it should be. But let's be honest, too. The Dolphins have a lot more to play for, right? They are in the playoff race still if they win.
Yeah.
The Patriots are okay.
And I still don't see the Dolphins as a playoff team. I mean, they're definitely still in it, especially that second wild card spot in the AFC is just a cluster at the moment. And I, for one, when the whole Cutler situation went down at the beginning of the season, thought it would be just fine for Miami. You give me Tannehill or Cutler, I call it a wash. I mean, obviously Cutler was going to have to take time to get into the offense. I didn't see Miami as that great of a team to begin with, but in a conference that other than the Patriots and the Steelers, and I guess you can throw the Jaguars in there now, no one wants to really prove themselves as a solid playoff team. Beating the Patriots and getting yourself to 6-7 and giving yourself a chance, I mean, anything can happen. And honestly, if they can play defense like that, where the secondary can be so good and that front four can put so much pressure on the quarterback where he has just no time, you can definitely see them run the rest of the table. I mean, it would be interesting to see how this game would have went with Gronk in there to be the dump-off specialist. Without the dump-off ability, it seemed like, you know, the Patriots were only had two options: run the ball, which you couldn't do against Miami, or try to find a wide receiver, which, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think he connected with a wide receiver till the third quarter.
Oh, no, you're right.
No, so, I mean, they completely...
It was really just Amendola, and he was throwing to, like, Dwayne Allen, pretty much.
But it will be interesting for Miami, though. You look at the rest of their schedule. They play Buffalo twice, and they go to Arrowhead. So it's a tough schedule, but that is three games against two teams that you're battling with for a possible wildcard spot.
Yeah, and that's important. You beat the ones around you. Not only do you win in the conference record, you win in head-to-head. That's what you need right now with the Dolphins. It's something that scares me as a Cowboys fan looking at that NFC East, or not just the NFC East, the NFC itself, and going, God, all the teams that are doing well, we lost to them. So this is not good. Even if they were to get the 10-6, the teams that might be 10-6 and beating them out, the Falcons, the Rams, you know, that Seattle game obviously you have to have at this point because you can't lose again. Like, depending on who's there, you might, it doesn't matter if you get 10-6, you're not making it because you didn't beat the other teams at the right spots, the Packers too, now with Aaron Rodgers coming back. So who you beat right now, the Dolphins have the best, really good shot of saying, all right, we beat a Chiefs team that got past their division rival after losing the first time really closely. And then you get Buffalo, who, you know, just played in a ridiculous game in the snow and found a way to win. And that was a game that Buffalo had to have. So this is going to be, like you said, something very interesting for the Dolphins. And might as well get to that game because it's one of the highlights of this entire week is Buffalo in a probably the most ridiculous amount of snow that we've seen in a long time on a field. I mean, it felt like you're watching, you know, some other sport besides football with the amount that was on there. But are you sure they weren't in Toronto?
It was so good.
It was. It was good. There was, you know, what you expect as far as it's low scoring because there's going to be things happening that you don't expect with the snow. You had to go to overtime 7-7, which is something you don't see every day. And LeSean McCoy gets that touchdown for the Buffalo Bills to win. But, man, that's it's a big win for Buffalo. Almost kind of just hurtful for the Colts just because one of those games, again, you could have won. Very much like a couple of other games they've had this season.
Yeah, and it's – yeah, I love this game. Yeah, I remember I usually watch the Red Zone on Sundays. Again, as a Jets fan, you have to watch something entertaining. So I watched the Red Zone, and I love that, like, anytime nothing was, like, close to the Red Zone, they're like, ah, just go to Buffalo. This is more fun than anything else right now. So they showed a lot of that game, which I absolutely loved. I honestly, I think LeSean McCoy would love to play in 7 feet of snow every week. he seems to have these kind of games in this condition. He just loves to play in it. 32 carries, 156 yards. I mean, just put him on your back. This is the kind of games that Buffalo needs to play in now with Taylor injured, because obviously Nathan Peterman's not doing it. He gets hurt too. Joe Webb is nothing. So it's go on the back of LeSean McCoy and play the defense. And if the weather can play a big factor in it, then that's a positive. Again, like Miami, the whole schedule for the AFC East is crazy at the end of the year, at least for the three teams that matter, because, again, Miami and Buffalo play twice, and Buffalo also gets New England. So, again, play all the teams that are around you here at the end of the year. So, not an easy sledding for a team that I don't think is going to make it, but, again, they're right in the mix.
Yeah, I think Buffalo has a shot, especially the way with you got to think about it like this. Like, I think Baltimore got really unlucky with that Pittsburgh game that we'll talk about in a little bit. That was a heck of a thriller. For all the primetime games that have absolutely just not delivered this year, Pittsburgh and Baltimore once again delivered a classic. But they lost a game that if they would have won, they would have kept that separation that they have in the AFC, and right now they really don't, because you've let all the other teams in, the Chiefs, Chargers, depending on what happens between that, and you've let in the Dolphins and all these other teams. Now the Bengals pretty much eliminated themselves, because how the hell do you give up 33 points to a Denver team that has played that badly?
Chicago.
Chicago. Denver also miraculously won.
Played the Jets. The Jets didn't show up.
Okay. I just don't understand how you don't show up to a game where...
So here's the thing, and we'll just hit on those two games quick, because they're basically the same thing. Cincinnati's over. It's time to move on from the head coach. Marvin Lewis. Thank you. It's been a while since I've been on a podcast, and I don't remember half of these names
Marvin
anymore.
Jones is a receiver for the Lions.
Yes.
It's okay.
He's stuck in my head, too. He's on my fantasy team. Marvin Lewis is done. It's time. He's kind of been hanging in there for a long time, and that mediocrity spot, they've hit that point. And you can kind of tell that the season's over for Cincinnati, and they have thrown in a towel. The Jets have been such a weird conundrum this year. At times, you get the feel that it's like Ryan Fitzpatrick from 2 years ago with McCown. Just he's like, no, look, I can actually be a decent quarterback, not great, but a decent enough quarterback with some young talent around him, and they could go out and surprise anybody at home. I mean, the fact that they almost beat the Patriots at home, the fact that they almost beat the Falcons at home, they lost one to the Buccaneers, which was a sham. I don't know how they end up blowing that one. But at home, they have been extremely tough. On the road, not so much. And they proved it here. As you go to Mile High, which is a tough place to play, even though Denver is god-awful, and they completely no-showed. So yeah, if you're a fan of Chicago and Denver, it's great that you get a win. I can't see this continuing for any of them. Yes, Trubisky does amazing against the Bengals, 25 of 32 for 271. This is not his coming out party yet. I mean, still a long ways to go. I think the one thing I've taken over the last 2 years, and I haven't been able to share it on the podcast, is we have gotten to the point where we overreact about young quarterbacks so fast. I mean, how many people gave up on Goff after his rookie season? And now he's turned it around. And this year just shows that you can't. I mean, Josh McCown, very old, can lead a team. You have Case Keenum leading Minnesota and actually playing extremely well. And if his name wasn't Case Keenum, he would be in the MVP race. But because it's Case Keenum, we go, no, we can't do that. There's no chance. So it's like any quarterback, if you put him in the right situation, can shine or be a bust. And it's the same thing. We'll talk about Kaiser later. I think I see some really good signs out of him if they give him a chance. But I know 80% of the world has already given up on him. And he's like, yeah, Cleveland needs to draft a quarterback in the first round next year. No, they don't. So we'll see.
Well, GM's already said that that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and it's so dumb. Right, like, again, Kaiser is showing signs. Trubisky is showing signs. But again, don't take anything great because it was Cincinnati giving up. But it's nice to see Trubisky going out and doing something. But to me, I wait for 2 years until I finally go, okay, now let's evaluate. Because at this point, we go, it's like the first pass of their rookie season, and we go, ah, we're done. He's terrible.
Well, yeah, and I think it also helps a lot for Kaiser to have receivers that actually, you know, want to be there, not like Kenny Britt, who, you know, it says a lot that the first thing that the new GM does when he gets in there, let's release the receiver that has played like crap this season, and a veteran that shouldn't be doing that. Even if you're playing for the Browns, you're still playing in the NFL. That's not a God-given right. It's a privilege. And I get it. Maybe he was doing it to get off the team, but I'm assuming this is not going to help you when you try to get on another team later. Mm-hmm. And you get Josh Gordon back, who, you know, if he can stay on the field is one thing here. But the dude is still, doesn't matter how much time he's off the field, he's showing he's a dynamic player.
For his sake, I hope that he can fix his demons completely and he's over this now and he can finish out his career strong. I mean, his touchdown catch was, I mean, that's typical Josh Gordon, the way he reached out for that one. So just for his sake, I hope that he can overcome all this stuff finally and just shine on the football field. And for Cleveland, they definitely need a playmaker like that. They showed signs that they could beat Green Bay, but I mean, give credit to Brett Hundley for some of those late drives that he had in that game. Him and Jamal Williams had an outstanding game there, too, and definitely sets up an interesting run for them over the last few games as they get Aaron Rodgers back. I have to say, I remember last year we were coming down to the wire. I don't remember this much intrigue and this many different kind of possibilities with 3 weeks left. If I remember right, last year was, yeah, this team could, but yeah, right. There's a lot that can change over these last 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's what's actually really impressive about this season is, you know, the AFC has been bad. We have to be honest about that, but it leaves it to where, man, if one of these teams get in, they could be dangerous. And maybe except for the Titans, who are kind of going down a downtrend right now. Yeah. But, it, you know, the Jaguars showed that whether they win this division or they get in as a wild card, you don't want to play them. Seahawks had to deal with that front and center with Russell Wilson making some incredible throws to make it close. And then, of course, it bites him in the butt. Again, the interceptions that he threw. It's like you've said many times, Randy, you're a little bit early on the Jaguars, but the draft.
Why
and
did
the
I give
buying,
up on them? Why did I give up on this team? Just,
because you were saying, oh, it's the Jaguars again, like many people thought. And between getting in Tom Coughlin, the all the buys that they made on the defense and the draft, that's how you do it, Cleveland.
And who would have thought? Well, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, give them a little bit of time. Jacksonville went through that whole process, and now it's finally taking place. And who would have thought that Jacksonville would be 9-4 the year that they lose Allen Robinson in the first week? Mm-hmm. And they lose Allen Hurns in the middle of the year. D.D. Westbrook is finally healthy, and he's coming to his own. Keelan Cole, has anyone ever heard of that name? Leading the team in receiving yards at this game. I mean, obviously, it definitely helped to get Leonard Fournette and to really get him that running back that was going to help Blake Bortles and take some of the pressure off of him, who I have to admit is playing much better lately. He's not bortling it up as much as he used to. But again, he has the safety net of the running back. The defense has been stout. And I'm sorry, again, I live in the Northwest, so I have to deal with Seahawks fans all the time. Other than, you know, Blake Bortles not being a rookie, Does the Jaguars not remind you of an early Seahawks team?
Yeah.
Hard-nosed defense, great secondary, ground-and-pound offense with a couple blips of explosiveness. This seems like Russell Wilson's rookie year.
Other than I think Russell Wilson proved in his rookie year that he was still better than Blake Bortles.
Compare Bortles to Wilson, but a decent enough quarterback. And Wilson had his troubles in his rookie year, but his elusiveness has been amazing. And I'll just touch on that too. Even though they lost this game and Russell Wilson threw three interceptions, Russell Wilson won the MVP to me just watching this game. Because you take Russell Wilson off of the Seahawks, not only do they get blown out this week, they would be under 500 by a long ways. Oh, what that man does, I mean, and at least two of his interceptions were, let me try to do something and throw it 60 yards down the field and hope my receiver makes the play. Because they were down and he was trying to do stuff. But how he can... I hate the way he plays. I don't like it because it's backyard football to me, where he just scrambles and waits for a receiver to get open. But when you have an offensive line that's that bad and receivers that can't create separation off the line, you have to do what he's doing. And without him, the Seahawks are nothing. So, again, they lost. He threw three interceptions. To me right now, he's the front runner for the MVP.
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's any – I mean, I think, with the way Hundley's played in Green Bay, even if, you know, Aaron Rodgers leaves in the playoffs, I think you could take him out of there. I think you brought up before we started that the ones leading the playoff race didn't have great stat lines this week – or not the MVP race, but, you know, Carson Wentz goes down. I think Carson Wentz would have been the winner. Very much like Derek Carr last year, had, you know, they've been able to stick around the entire season. But Russell Wilson right now, especially if Seattle can make it into the playoffs.
And you can definitely make an argument for Carson Wentz, or you could have obviously before the injury. But to me, it's how you put the definition for MVP. Do you put... you know, this team became the best team because of this guy, or this team would be complete garbage without him? Like, Russell Wilson, I think, is the most valuable, but Carson Wentz took his team and made them, you know, a top-notch team. So, again, if he would have stayed healthy, I would not have been upset either way. But to me, just the way Russell Wilson handled that fourth quarter and how he's handled the fourth quarter all year has been very impressive. Not so impressive, the defense of Seattle at the end of that game, and just reminding everybody that they just can't take a loss in a tough game. Yeah, watching the end of that, did you not have flashbacks of the Super Bowl when they did that with the Patriots? Lose, so now let's just be chippy and dumb.
Let's get mad at... Look, the fans shouldn't be throwing stuff on the field.
That's a whole different...
But, like, you don't need to be trying to get at him either. Like, you got to remember that this is – you're getting paid a lot of money. You just got to cool it. You might get in trouble for that and lose some money because you got overheated. And yeah, you can't – go ahead.
I was just going to say, and to me, those are two different situations. The guy going after the crowd, you can't do that. You can't – I mean – we've seen this run our test. No matter how stupid the crowd is, you can't go after them.
Yeah.
But yes, the crowd in that situation was 50-50 problem in that situation. But I'm talking more on the field and the trying to take the guy's knee out on the kneel and just the crybaby attitude by some of those guys, which one of them,
like, Shelton Richardson. Like, attacking people on a freaking kneel. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, Shelton Richardson, ex-Jet, like, he's fit in with Seattle quite well. Who is the coach that he was a blip in the NFL, but he coached, Shiano. I want to say Tampa Bay, yeah, Shiano, where he did that with, he had his players do that. It was like, That's what it felt like, and it's dumb, and it was disappointing to see after a very cool fourth quarter where I don't like the Seahawks, but watching them come back and seeing that play out was really fun to watch. And then of course it just is gross and ending, but Jacksonville to me is legit. Unfortunately, I don't see them going that far in the playoffs just for the fact that can they really win in Foxborough or Heinz Field? I don't see it yet, but man, they're tough.
That defense can win you a championship, and that's what's been winning them games is that defense. And then Fournette and Blake Bortles actually play one of his better games against Seattle. But what if you get the bungling Blake Bortles and you got to deal with, oh, we got to fight interception for interception or fumble and fumble. That's when it gets difficult for the Jags. And it's all got to depend on what kind of game are you having? Can they protect him enough? And I still want to see what happens in a game where the Jags don't get all these interceptions, right? And it's totally on Bortles to make things happen. Is that what happens in the playoffs and then they go down because of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's highly possible. But you look at Jacksonville again, I'll bring up the final 3 weeks. They play the Texans, they play the 49ers, they play the Titans. I know the 49ers are playing a bit better. Everyone's getting on the hype train for Garoppolo, who I think is good. But again, people are overhyping because all of a sudden the 49ers have won a couple of games. But they are definitely playing tougher. And then they play at Tennessee. I think at that point they're going to have the division locked up. Tennessee could be playing for a wild card. But I bring this up more for the fact that, you know, Jacksonville has an outside shot of getting the 2 seed from New England. I mean, with the Patriots losing this week, say they lose to Pittsburgh next week, all of a sudden Jacksonville could have the same record. And right there, I mean, if you could get the Patriots to come to your house, it gives you a little bit better edge at that point. Again, I would still favor the Patriots in a playoff matchup. I mean, you're saying Tom Brady or Blake Bortles at this point, but you can take whatever edge you can get.
Yeah, I mean, right now the Jags kind of have they have almost the same record on the road as they do at home. They're not, Everbank isn't always home field advantage, honestly. So I don't know that necessarily it's the worst thing if they go to Foxborough either. And I think it just all depends on how if that defense can do what the Dolphins did tonight to Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Jags winning. If Brady protects the ball, can get it to those receivers, and Bortles has one of his Bortaculars, then no. But yeah, the blueprint's been laid for Jacksonville. You just got to be able to do it. And I think for the Titans too, it's just these last few games have not been wonders for them at all, as far as saying you want to go in with the best, look towards the playoffs. A Cardinals team that is eliminated. Blaine Gabbert has a lot to play for himself because obviously Carson Palmer's days are numbered and he might be sitting there saying, well, maybe I have a shot at this starting gig thing. So, he did decent enough. And the Cardinals defense pretty much just shuts out the Titans in the second half completely and they win. This is a game and for Tennessee you got to have. You can't be giving games away against lesser opponents right now.
Yeah, and Tennessee is just off. I don't know how to explain it. I like Mariota, but he has definitely had a awful season. More interceptions than touchdowns this year, especially over the last four. He's just completely, I think he's trying to force it a little too much. The run game has not been as good as you would like. I mean, Corey Davis coming in and trying to get that connection going on. To me, I think the defense is playing fine enough for Tennessee. It's just when you have a quarterback that's young like Mariota trying to do too much, again, kind of the excuses that I was giving to Blake Bortles 3-4 years ago, you make it really tough for your team to win. And honestly, I think it's their quarterback play that's going to make them miss the playoffs, even though they, you would have thought a couple weeks ago, they were one of the teams that were locked in.
Yeah, you would have, and with the schedule they have coming up, you're still thinking that they probably have one of the spots coming in, but you just, you never know. Again, you know, 49ers are, at, right now with Garoppolo, they've been a team that's winning. So that's not a foregone conclusion. Then you got the Rams and Jags. I mean, you got three games here where they could all be losses, and you're looking at out of the playoffs. So, and I think what you said, the reason why he's doing so much is because that running game just hasn't been there. Yeah, Derrick Henry gets the touchdown. But when this first started with Murray and Henry, this was a, you know, 1-2 punch that you couldn't stop, and Mariota was able to find the receivers down the field or whatever, and be able to, then he got hurt, and you know they were kind of never the same after that. But I just feel like they figured out that, okay, let's stop the run game, let's put this on Mariota, and so far people have been able to succeed on this. So
yeah, and it's definitely gonna be interesting to see. If you go back and look, they've played a lot of really close games, so maybe their record is a bit smoke and mirrors as well. Maybe they weren't that next level that a few people were starting to anoint. But it's going to be interesting. Again, they're sitting there 8-5, have the front runner spot for that first wild card spot. Got to win a couple games here in the last three.
Yeah, certainly do. Just to make sure that you keep one of those wild card spots alive, because like we talked about, with a lot of these teams getting hot, like the Chargers have been, and they don't seemingly stop for anyone, and the Bills keep winning games, even though you think maybe they might lose one here and there, got to watch out. That one could get taken up really quick. You're leading it by a game right now, but let's say you lose next week to the 49ers or in a game that the Rams kind of got to have to keep pace the way the Seahawks are playing. You've got tough matchups, and you know, the Chargers go in and blow away. Look, the Redskins were eliminated at this point, and they were down guys again. I don't know how many times Kirk Cousins has played without Trent Williams and various parts of his offensive line. His receivers have not been there this year at all.
Do you think we could make a call and get Wes to play the offensive line this year for them?
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
He might do a better job than some of those backups. You know,
it's been rough, and anybody that's listened to this podcast for a long time knows I love Kirk Cousins. It's not going to happen, but I want Cousins on the Jets in the worst way. I think he's awesome. But, oh, my God, the offensive line has been terrible. The receiving issues, I thought Terrell Pryor was going to be great for this team. He was garbage before he got hurt. No Jordan Reed. That's a mess. But you look at the Chargers, they're winning that division. My prediction right now. Who would have thought that a month ago? And who would have thought that this Saturday night game against Kansas City would be for basically the division with the way this season started out? But that's going to be one amazing game that I can't wait to watch on Saturday. But listen, Phillip Rivers over the last month has put himself, honestly, I mean, if you really want to think about it, possibly in the MVP race as well. I don't think he's going to win it, but he goes out and wins these last three and turns this around and wins the division. He has been playing phenomenal lately.
Oh, yeah. I think you have to put him in that conversation if they go and win the division. I mean, they will have to have won, seven games in a row to end the season. It's incredible to be able to do that, not only that, and go on and win your division. Yeah, you have to count on the Chiefs playing badly for a huge stretch there as well, which, you know, that has nothing to do with Rivers, even if they win next week. But you have to give it up to the guy. He's throwing it out there, scoring touchdowns. One thing that's huge for him is Keenan Allen being healthy the entire season. And Tyrell Williams coming on as well. That defensive line with Bosa and Ingram are monsters. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they've got the right mix of everything right now. And even with playing in a soccer stadium, these guys are are doing it.
I've already said that I think they're going to win the division. Do you think they're going to win the division?
It's hard for me to think that this role is going to stop. That game on Saturday is huge, though.
Yes. So let me play devil's advocate because I'm just looking at stuff. I still think that they're going to win the division and they are for real. But you look at their schedule. Obviously, they started 0-4. They've won 7 of their last 9. You look at the teams that they beat, and you start wondering, has this been a mirage? I don't think so, just from the eye test. No, I think they can play well.
You beat the Giants, Raiders, Broncos.
You beat the Bills. The Bills, who have been up and down, and I think that was the Peterman game, where he threw 4 interceptions.
Yes,
I might be
that
wrong.
That was the Peterman game, yes.
Then you play the Cowboys in the middle of their suspension. They start to figure things out without Elliott, but that was kind of before they started turning things around. And then you beat the Browns and the Redskins. Your two losses were the Patriots and Jaguars. Like, your only two real competition you lost to. Yeah, both
games
were
close. Lost to the Chiefs and Eagles as well.
Oh, that way, again, they started 0-4. But,
right.
So they still haven't really beaten anybody worth anything when they were worth anything. But to me, just the way they have been playing, and again, I test, obviously Saturday is the biggest test at Arrowhead, but I still think they're for real and they can win a division. But this could be one of those teams that just took advantage of their schedule and really aren't worth a shit. But again, devil's advocate, but I think they are.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a good point. Right, because, okay, Saturday is a divisional game. The last game of the season is a divisional game. And you got the Jets, who, you know.
It's a bye week. It's a
bye
week.
They're now officially pretty much eliminated. So what are you going to get by the time you get to Christmas Eve? This could be another game where you're just beating somebody. So if you win on Saturday, you beat the Chiefs and who else at that point? And, okay. Yeah, maybe you have that chip on your shoulder when it comes to playoff time and go, okay, everybody keeps saying we haven't beat anybody. Let's go beat someone. But you still got to beat them, you know? So
I think, as you said, the pieces that you listed off, they have the pieces there for sure. And again, I think they are. And all you have to do is beat the people out in front of you. And that's all they've had to do. They win on Saturday. They basically win this division. Who cares who they beat?
Yeah. Because it won't matter at that point. What will matter is when you get to that first game at StubHub and you win that game. Now, you go and lose, maybe the whole who you played matters, though, at that point. But, you know, you got to prove it when it comes playoff time because a lot of times the hot team goes in and performs way better than anybody ever thought they would, and they win.
Yeah, the Giants did that twice.
Yeah. So, you know, all you got to do is keep doing what you're doing here. You know the Chiefs well. You lost them early in the season, when you were in a slump. But, hey, we saw it today. It's hard to beat a team twice in a season, especially where the Chargers are. I think the Chiefs kind of just played a Raiders team that defense is still bad, and they were able to control Derek Carr, who is still dealing with having receiver problems himself, where a lot of the guys get injured or suspended or whatever. And, you know, it hit him at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. But right now, just Phillip Rivers keeps doing his thing. I think they could be someone that you don't want to mess with when it comes to playoff time, depending on who you're playing as well. You know, let's say that they're playing the Ravens or something like that. You know, I might take the Chargers in that matchup. So
again, there's a lot that is going to be determined. We basically know that the Pittsburgh and New England, for the most part, are going to get the byes. Maybe Jacksonville can sneak in there, but the matchups that'll be playing in the wild card round at this point, who knows?
Yeah, it's such a crapshoot right now in both conferences that a lot left. And until we know anything more, it kind of is what it is right now. But let's see. I mean, we talked about the 49ers. I think Garoppolo improved on his first game. Yeah, they're playing the hapless Texans. Let's be honest there. But it's not like Savage didn't try to go out there and keep him close. It was really just 49ers had too much for a Texas defense that ever since they lost to Sean Watson have not really been themselves. Can't stop DeAndre Hopkins, though. He has been amazing with Savage. I have him in like two fantasy leagues, and that dude has been carrying my team amazingly. So,
yeah, DeAndre Hopkins hurts. I traded him early because the quarterback play had been so just awful. I couldn't deal with it, and then it just seemed like after Watson showed up and dominated with him, that Savage went, oh, that's all you have to do is just throw it to Hopkins over and over and over. And every time he does, it just makes me more and more sad. But yeah, these are two teams that we could be talking about in the future. I mean, obviously with Watson getting healthy next year, they have the pieces there with Fuller and Hopkins on offense. The defense, you know, it's getting a little bit older, but you can find pieces there. The 49ers are intriguing to me, because I want to see exactly how Garoppolo does in a full season and how he can kind of progress. He has some young talent there, and they're kind of in that middle section. We talked about the Cleveland Browns, and we talked about Jacksonville, who used to be like the Cleveland Browns. And San Francisco's kind of in that middle part. They've been rebuilding a little bit. They're not ready to contend, but they're not garbage. So next year is kind of that tilting point. Are they going to continue to struggle and go 4-12, or are we going to see a 7-9, 8-8 season and see them really take that next step forward?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, you got Carlos Hyde. Goodwin has been actually just very solid for them this season. I was trying not to say good and good and two things there. And so I think and for the most part, I thought Beathard was okay. You know, he wasn't awful. So there have been certainly worse quarterbacks than him this season. And I think the defense has been actually sort of underrated for the 49ers. It's just been putting that together. And I think the team just, when you have a guy like Garoppolo who has the pedigree, he's proven it. He went out there and won with the Patriots when Brady was out with the Deflategate thing. He comes in the 49ers, he keeps winning. And let's say you win these last games and you go into the next season knowing, okay, we're 6-10, and all those wins that we got with Garoppolo, that sets you up for feeling like, hey, we could be something. And let's be honest, would it be good for them to have a higher draft pick and maybe get Garoppolo some help, either a receiver or offensive line help, or I don't know if you want to go on you've gone a lot on the defensive side lately. Sure. But I think the confidence for them and for Garoppolo, for Shanahan and for everybody to know, okay, we got somebody here. We don't even need to think about one of these quarterbacks in that draft. I think it's better for that team in the long run because you traded a pretty high pick for the guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see them winning the last three of the regular season, but obviously they're not going to go out and try to lose them on purpose. This is, as you said, trying to get the build toward next year, see what they got, to get the pieces working together and just get the reps out on the field. And again, as a Jets fan, I'm going to be selfish here, but I want to see Garoppolo do well because that was the main destination for Kirk Cousins. And I don't think Cousins is staying in Washington, even though they should pay the man. So the Jets are over here still needing a quarterback. I mean, because they just refuse to give either of them a chance unless McCown breaks his hand, and then they're just kind of forced to have to. So why not?
I mean, I think with Cousins, he's not certainly not helping himself. this season. Part of it is, I mean, a lot of it's not his fault, right?
Yeah, none of it's his fault.
You lose Chris Thompson, one of your big weapons that you found this season. Jordan Reed has not been healthy.
You have an offensive line worse than the Seattle Seahawks, and you're not as fast as Russell Wilson to get away from it.
You have an offensive line that keeps getting injured. Just, oh, poor guy. Like, constantly cannot deal with – he doesn't know who's going to be playing in front of him every week. Jameson Crowder can't catch a ball to save his life, and that dude's supposed to be one of the guys you let DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon go for. That's another thing, too, with the 49ers. Imagine if Garçon had stayed healthy.
Yes.
How much that would have helped Garoppolo right now. And, it, like, just it's awful for Cousins, but what they're going to – what a lot of people aren't going to look at that. They're going to look at the stat line from this year, and the Redskins are going to say, you know what? You bet on yourself too many times. You didn't do enough this season to say that we owe you that money. And they might go back to that original deal and say, okay, look, we'll still offer you this original deal that you turned down, and you decide whether you want to take that or not. And if he doesn't, I'm sure that there will be that team that pays him, whether it is the Jets, whether it's – I don't think San Francisco needs him anymore, even though they could, I guess. And Cardinals could come after him. You know, there's teams out there that if they say, okay, all we need is a quarterback, Kirk Cousins is a proven guy, let's go out there and get him, you know. So, for me, I still think the Jets are a huge candidate for him more than almost any other team, because I think the Browns need to just go after one of those rookies, and they're going after Cousins isn't gonna. It's gonna help you. But...
Kizer is fine.
Yeah,
give him a chance. Give Kizer a chance.
Even if you don't think Kizer's fine, I still think that you're gonna take out Sashi and everybody else to go put in a veteran guy.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't think they need to. I don't think the Browns need to draft a quarterback. They need a few other different places. I think Kizer's is showing signs. I mean, we talked about him enough for a week 14 recap, but Kizer's fine.
Talking about somebody being fine now that he has to step into a role, Carson Wentz does get injured, torn ACL, and this has been the year for torn ACLs. Mm-hmm. Awful. They hold on and beat the Rams. Big game that clinches them the division. Nick Foles was obviously a proven guy. He's been in the system. I think that was under Chip Kelly, if I'm not mistaken. So, different deal there, but still has incredible talent around him. Do you think that going to Brandon Graham called Carson Wentz our everything. Nick Foles is obviously not their everything. Can you – maybe the rest of the season isn't necessarily that important, but what about the playoffs? Do you feel like they can feel confident with Nick Foles?
Does Minnesota feel confident with Case Keenum?
Yeah, but you've had a whole season with Case Keenum, though.
But it's just my thing. Even though Nick Foles is not a household name – and yes, Nick Foles has had his chances and has not been amazing. He can have a resurgence, and I think he's going to be fine. I think the death of the Eagles is a little early right now. I heard all over the radio today, oh, well, the Eagles are done. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to be an easy out. Nick Foles is nothing. I don't think Nick Foles has ever had this many weapons around him. I don't think Nick Foles has had a defense as good as the Eagles can be at times. I mean, they gave up 35 to the Rams, who puts up a lot of points. I don't think Nick Foles has had three running backs as good as he has right now. I'm not saying that they're going to be as good, because I don't think Nick Foles is at the level of Carson Wentz, but he doesn't have to be. You can ground and pound. You have Alshon Jeffrey, who you can throw it up to. you have a defense that can keep you in games, and yes, the NFC is stacked, and that's the thing that worries me. If this is the AFC, I like them to get to the AFC Championship game, and we'll see what they do against the Patriots. But I think they dip a little bit, but could they – I mean, they're most likely getting a bye week. Could they go out and get two wins and get to the Super Bowl? Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the rest of their schedule, though. You're playing the Giants, who, you know, they are what they are right now. They're pretty much just waiting out the season. The Raiders, by that point, if they lose their next game, they're out of it. You know, they may have nothing to play for by that time. And the Cowboys, it all depends on if they win the next two games, which, yeah, you're playing the Raiders in one of them, a team that also is fighting for a playoff spot, so that's a toss-up right now. Then you're playing for a Seahawks team who, even though you're playing them in your building, that's really tough. You do get Zeke back at that point, but, you know, even then, it, you know, that game, by the time you get to the Cowboys, is a wash. You know, do they even sit? Do they play Foles at that point? You know, they could sit him to get the playoff game. So this is a manageable schedule. Yes. And that's also where, you know, you brought up with the Chargers is like he's going to get playing time, right? And the team might look sort of similar, but will you have played anyone that makes you go, okay, here we go. We're going into the playoffs, and now we're playing okay, you're going to get a bye. So now you're playing, let's say, the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, or you're playing maybe the Seahawks, maybe even the Rams, or whoever. Are they good enough with Foles to beat one of those teams, you know, a Vikings team or something, even with Keenum? I don't know. That's where I'm worried. I'm not worried about the rest of the season. That doesn't really mean much. It's when you get to that playoff where you would say with Carson Wentz, oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt the Eagles get through. But with Foles, it's a different deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And these 3 weeks will just get him back into rhythm a little bit. Hopefully so. Hold on to your bye week and go from there. Are they the favorites in the NFC right now? Probably not. But would it shock me if they made the Super Bowl with Nick Foles? Not really. Because, again, they have a lot of talent around him. And Nick Foles is not garbage. He's one of the better backup quarterbacks I think you can have in the league, and he's been in that system for a while. Obviously, again, as you said, different head coaches and such, but he's been a part of that Eagles organization, and, you know, obviously has a rapport with the receivers and stuff, and I think it's going to be just fine. Again, the NFC is just so stacked that, I mean, they could lose their first game or they make the Super Bowl. But you could say that about the Vikings and the Falcons and the Panthers and the Saints and everyone else. The NFC is such a cluster right now. Who knows what's going to happen? And that's why this season's been so great.
Yeah, and making it even more of a cluster was one of the big games of the weekend was the Vikings and Panthers. Panthers go in and win. And making that cluster in the NFC South even bigger, making the wild card even a bigger crapshoot right now, because you got the NFC South teams all really just jumbled up and they're taking spots. And, you know, the Vikings suffer a loss, which knocks them out of first place. Yeah, you know, Keenum still played pretty well, 280 yards and two touchdowns. And Jonathan Stewart had one hell of a game for himself, especially if you had him in fantasy. I'm sure he might have won you a playoff game. But are the Panthers peaking at the right time here where they might make it, or they still got to play division here? So who do you think makes it out of the NFC South?
To win the division?
I feel like they're at least getting a division in one of the wild cards, right? The way things
are. Yeah. Or they might get both.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll get both, but it's so tough. I mean, the Falcons, Saints, or Panthers, who's going to come out of that? it's nearly impossible to come up with.
Yeah, you get to play Aaron Rodgers next week in his first game back. You know he's going to be pumped for that.
I think the Saints are just quickly bouncing around. I mean, the Saints play the Jets and the Buccaneers. So never mind. The Saints probably have the easiest schedule in here. And they get Atlanta week 16 again, which that was a good Thursday night game. Atlanta has a tough schedule. They have three divisional opponents, Saints and Panthers, to end the year. At this point, it's a coin flip, but all three of them would be scary outs come playoff time. Listen, Carolina, ever since that Super Bowl loss, has been the biggest Jekyll and Hyde team I've ever seen. And that's just how Cam Newton plays. It's if he is upbeat and having fun, they will beat anybody in the league. The moment he starts getting in his head, they could lose to Cleveland. And you can almost tell how a game is going to go in the first quarter. Just not just from Cam, but I want to say it was either first or second quarter. He throws a touchdown pass to, I believe it was Funchess. And you could just tell, like, that Super Bowl run, how much fun they had on every touchdown. Like, the celebration they had, I went, this was Carolina from a couple of years ago. This is the version that we saw them go, 14-2, 15-1, and run through the playoffs until they got steamrolled against Denver. It's like, this was the team that was so much fun to watch. This was not the emo Cam that we saw last year. So if they can keep that role going, I think Carolina is the best team. The Saints definitely have a very improved defense, and they have a lot of weapons. But I don't think that defense is playoff ready if you're not in a dome. They've definitely taken those steps forward. And Atlanta, they are just an enigma themselves this year. Like, they're hanging in there, but I just don't think they have the same pieces as they have. So to me, I think Carolina has the slight edge. And Atlanta, if I'm saying one team doesn't make the playoffs, I'd say Atlanta doesn't. But I mean, what do you think?
I think the Saints, with their schedule, if they don't, something bad happened, right? Unless the Falcons went out or something like that, where it doesn't matter. I can't see it where the Saints don't get in one of those two spots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if things keep going the way they're going, they might take all three spots that are left. So, the problem is that they can't win out with all playing each other. So, I mean, that's the problem, is they all wind up playing each other at some point here. But I feel like you said with Carolina, there's games where they have games like this, right? Where Stewart plays well, or McCaffrey runs it up, catching balls, and, Cam's running, and throwing to Funchess, and throwing to whoever, and they're getting wins, and the defense is playing well. And you have games where they get completely shut down in the running game, and Cam Newton has no idea what to do, and he gets frustrated, and they don't play well, and it could happen for them in this game against the Packers, where Packers know that they have to win out, and Rodgers is going to feel like, look, I'm coming back after everything, the team did with Brett Hundley to keep us in this position, and that could very well be a loss. You got the Buccaneers that you should be beating at that point, even though the Buccaneers have been interesting. They seem to find a way to stay in games. And then you got a Falcons team that by that point, this could be the playoff game before the playoff game. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's in Atlanta. I still think the Saints get the division at the end of the day. And it's hard to count out Cam Newton when that game matters. But I just like Atlanta's team more, just the way that they're built with the running game, the dual threats, Julio Jones. I know Matt Ryan's been not himself this year. He has not been the Matt Ryan we saw last year. But I feel like they can do enough, and I think it's Saints and Falcons and the Panthers wind up being out.
Could you imagine? I mean, it's going to most likely happen. Because, again, the NFC has been so stacked that, like, we could be talking about Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson not making the playoffs, but Nate Peterman starting a game for the Buffalo Bills in a wild card game.
It's the way of the NFL.
Right, and absolutely.
The way of the NFL. This crazy stuff. How one conference can be so much rougher than the other one. And, you know, you're talking about, like, teams from last year, the Cowboys, too. They could be out just from the fact that 10-6 is not enough. If they are, I mean, they got two games that they should be able to win, especially now without Carson Wentz. And that game against the Seahawks is going to be everything if they can get past the Raiders this week. And, you know, even then, even with that, because they lost to the Falcons, because they lost to the Packers, because they lost to the Rams, it may be a case where, oh, well, those teams are in front of you. You can't do it. And I don't know. I hate to do this because, again, it's like, I was always on Zeke's side about you fight for your record, you fight for your name, you know. But, man, you wonder if he would have taken that suspension a little earlier. You win one of those games you lost. You're 11 and, you know, you go 11-5, different situation.
You know? Yeah, and that's the difference between – I don't want to say real life because – there you go. I guess I'll go that way. Real life and a game. I mean, his real life situation and going through that, if he didn't do anything, yeah, I was right there with him. Fight for everything. Fight for your name. Because that's, as he says, everything you got. If he did do something, he's just a piece of shit and shouldn't play in the NFL to begin with. But, yes, does it affect the season a little bit differently if he is suspended the first six games rather than this late in the season, especially because they had the Falcons, the Eagles, the Chargers, the Chiefs were in there? Yeah, of course. But I mean, to me, even if Dallas would have eked in, especially with how tough the NFC is, I know you're a Cowboys fan. I just don't think they're there yet. They have those pieces with Prescott and Elliott for years. But Prescott has definitely slumped a little bit. There were times Elliott didn't look good, like, at all. I remember that early game against the Broncos where he got, what, like 8 yards?
Yeah. I mean, that was just a game where everybody was bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he definitely turned things around and became the Zeke of his rookie season. He kind of got in that midseason form. Honestly, about the time where it looked like maybe the legal stuff was going to be behind him for a little bit and he could kind of clear his head. So definitely look for the Cowboys next year. But that's what I worried about Dallas and kind of that sophomore slump for everybody. But again, they're a game out and you never know. And they play a team week 16, as you've said a couple times, against the Seahawks, which that could very well be when loser is eliminated kind of a game. And then who knows about week 17 when they play the Eagles. They kind of toyed around with the Giants a little bit on Sunday. And I'm sure a lot of you Cowboys fans aren't going to admit it, but I'm sure you were nervous in the second quarter. Like, really? We're going to lose our season to the Giants?
Yeah, I thought about it for a little. It was getting me a little nervous, you know, that whole 17-10. I was like, oh, God, here we go. Eli Manning is going to pull one on the Cowboys and screw the whole season. And no, they were able to pull it out and pull away. And, hey, that all that matters is you get those 20 points in the fourth quarter. I'm not complaining. I don't care if they play that against, the Raiders or whatever, and they end up eking it out. All that matters right now is the wins. They just got to get the wins, but you got to get help, right? You could do this, and I've said this a bunch of times, it doesn't matter. And it could be that way for a lot of these teams, right? The Packers could go through the same thing, Cowboys could go through the same thing. You know, the Vikings need to be watching out because if they go through a tire slump, you know, you're looking at, you know, a problem where, you know, you're playing for that division in the last game. So, you know, they need to make sure that they win one more. And for me, the reason why I haven't talked about them, yeah, they eked out a win against the Bucks, but I feel like the Lions are out of it right now. They have been just – I know Stafford's been playing rather well, but that team has not looked like a contender.
Yeah, and his injury definitely worries me. I don't think he played that great on Sunday. Again, definitely good enough to get that win. But they showed it last year. How many fourth quarter comebacks did they have last year? Like 6 or 7 of them? It was ridiculous last year. And they're trying to do that again. They're playing a lot of close games, and they're not winning as many. But they just don't give you that belief. I'm with you. Like, when you talk about contenders that are right now sitting outside the playoffs that could make it, even though the Lions are right there, they're the last team you talk about. I mean, you talk about the Seahawks, you talk about the Packers, you talk about the Cowboys. The Lions are 7-6. They're an interesting team, but I mean, I don't think they make it. Again, if they're in the AFC, I'd give them a great chance. I just, again, that's just how this year has panned out with how deep the NFC is. But I'm with you. I'm a Stafford fan, but their defense just is not that great. Their running game has been awful. Amir Abdul has been garbage. And Theo Riddick, it looks like he's going to be the number one guy, and that doesn't scare me as a defensive coordinator. So, sure, but you know what? They play the Bears, they play the Bengals. And that's definitely two games you can win. So they could be that team where both of us have just went, yeah, we're not worried about it. But next thing you know, they're 9-6 playing the Packers week 17, and winner can make the playoffs. Yeah. This season has been goofy.
Yeah, and it's going to be so much fun to see so many of these games matter, too. Even if, you know, you hope that there's a lot more games mattering by then. Where some of these teams do take losses that are the 9-4s. You know, basically the NFC South team's got to start taking some losses that aren't against each other. But, you know, hopefully the Saints will just run away with it, and the Falcons and Panthers are still, they're stuck in the mud with the Packers, Cowboys, Lions, and you know, all these other teams, and it's a fight to the finish. I'd hate to see it just be, all right, it's, you know, 5 teams for one spot, and it's almost impossible for a lot of them. Hopefully it's both spots that are up for grabs, and and even some divisions maybe. So,
Can I just get on a soapbox just for a second?
Go ahead.
We're just talking about how great the Sunday night football game was, and that was a classic. Thursday night game was really good. Monday night game was good because it was surprising, right?
Right.
What the hell, NFL next week? We're talking
Colts,
which I was going to get to that, but we were just talking about, you know, Saturday night game, Chargers and Chiefs. That's good. We have big matchups with playoff implications between the Packers and Panthers. That's going to be a good one. Rams and Seahawks, Patriots and Steelers, right? What do we get Thursday night? Denver and Indianapolis. Saturday we get Chicago and Detroit. I mean, it could be interesting, but I mean, really compared to those. Sunday night, I know the Cowboys have a chance, but the Cowboys and Raiders, really? And the Falcons and Buccaneers. We have such amazing matchups, and we get such duds, especially Thursday. I want to know the ratings for Thursday night.
Yeah, I think at that point, when they made the schedule, you're thinking, oh, you know, the Trevor Siemian has figured it out, and right. Andrew Luck's playing for the Colts, right? So it's interesting. You know, the two Peyton teams going at it, even though Peyton, maybe Peyton was going to be and silent or something.
I understand, and you can't switch a team the Thursday night, but it's just, damn.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, at least Saturday you do have the Chargers and and Chiefs.
That's going to be good.
You know, they're not all going to be winners. I mean, it is what it is, but hey, it could have been much worse. You know, and plus I don't know, maybe they flex that Dallas and Raiders game.
I don't think you can flex this late. I think we're past that.
No, they flex if they flex Dallas and Giants out of the 1 o'clock, I think this is when you can start flexing, actually, for Sunday.
No, I mean, I would like, because it's Monday. It's already Monday night. Oh. They usually do that, like, on Sunday. But that's what I meant. Like, during the
week.
It is
a playoff contention game, right? Basically, another game where Dallas either eliminates somebody or they are
honestly,
eliminated.
I get it. To me, that game is whoever loses that game is out.
Right.
On their side. So, I get it.
You but still it's crazy. Have, you know, Rams, Seattle, and Pittsburgh and New England in the 4 o'clock spots. So, you know, I'm sad for anybody that gets stuck with Tennessee and San Francisco, but it is what it is, you know, at that point. But then look at the 1 o'clock, you know, and I'm sure, you know, the prime 1 o'clock game is going to be Green Bay and Carolina. So, you got good matchups across the board for all those slots. You know, you got the what could be a stinker on Saturday, or it could be a good game if they let Trubisky throw the ball. So, you know, to me the only stinker for National is Denver and Indianapolis.
That's a rough one. That is the time to do anything other than watch the NFL.
Sadly, Eric and I will have to be watching that game, but. And then Atlanta, Tampa Bay could also be one of those that,
And the worst thing is the bowl season won't even start by then, so you can't even watch the bowl game instead.
Cannot do that either. It's like it's the middle of the next week, right?
It's Saturday.
December 16th. So
Troy and North Texas.
They take off that Monday or something?
What?
So is it like where there's only one game on that Saturday, the 16th, and then they...
No, there's a bunch on Saturday. There's a bunch on Saturday. They take off Monday, and then it's like one a day.
Oh, okay.
For a little bit.
That's fair, I guess. But excited to start being able to watch some of these bowls, though. And then, of course, who do you think's going to win the championship?
Oklahoma.
I think it's.
I like Baker Mayfield. I mean, he's edgy, but I like him.
Oh yeah, there's nothing wrong with edgy. It brings excitement and intrigue to anything. I think Oklahoma can get by Georgia. All they have to do is try to outscore them. They can certainly do that with Georgia. I think Clemson gets by Alabama again. It's going to be a rough one, but I think they can do it. And I think Clemson retains and champion once again.
It could. I mean, I think they made a mistake. I mean, if you're just going to have these weird seedings, why not put Alabama third just for the hell of it? Just so Alabama and Clemson could fight in the national championship for the third straight year.
Oh, because you know.
No, I don't.
The crap that would be happening.
I'm not saying it, but just so you could have a triple, a three-peat for the national championship. Just do it for fun.
Oh, Lord. The people crying foul for that system would be... We already have so many people wanting to, like, either go to 8 or go more. It's like...
8 is the most you can go. You can't go more than that.
That's what I keep telling everybody. And don't do the whole guaranteed conference champion or whatever, all that stuff. Like,
well, that is if you want to be fair. If you want to be fair, conference champions should make the playoff because that's what it is. It's like winning your division, right? College football and college sports in general are not about fair. They're about the intrigue. I mean, because you have so many teams. It's tough to come up with a system that is
well. They do it. They do it fairly in basketball.
No, they have 64 teams. teams. It's, I mean, well, they, but they
you,
get
you do
crazy.
Get whoever wins the conference championship tournament does get in automatically. So,
well,
that's...
yeah, but that's not fair either because that's a one and done. I mean, you play for 5 months and you lose one game, you're out. I mean, you're not in college basketball. You rarely get the best team is your national champion. Just, I mean, that's the way it is. But again, they build that up for the most fun couple of days in all the sports. And college football loves that they have a whole season of debate.
Right.
And that's what they have. So they spread it to four. I mean, I can see going to eight, because then you still get a little bit of an intrigue, whether it's Auburn or USC or Penn State or Miami that gets in or whatever. But if you go to 16, you have a four-loss Stanford that would probably make it at that point.
Nah, I just don't want to see that happen, because then it's like – it's basically like watching the NFL. I think what's great about college football is I think even with eight, what you get is more certainty as to, okay, we really did have – a real national champion now, because some of these teams that you could have fought for being in there and could have done something. Okay. Listen, when you get to eight, does that mean that UCF should get a better shot at being in? Yes, I think they should. Should they get an automatic? No. But, you know, that's where you've got to weigh that whole thing of, well, you got to remember these schedules are made like 10 years in advance.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can really do much about it.
And
this is rough.
And how great would it have been if they had an 18 playoff and they let UCF in and UCF played at the first round with a backup coach?
Yeah.
Would
Frost have been able to fight saying...
There's no way that he's going to get that job and then they're going to go, ah... You can actually recruit in like 2 months. You can wait for all the good recruits to go, and then you can come join us. There's no way he gets that job. But it'll be interesting. I mean, it could still be tweaked a little bit. The people that go, oh, this playoff kills the bowl season. It's like you didn't care about the bowls anyways, because it's not like North Texas in their bowl game had any chance of winning the national championship. So the fact that there's a playoff doesn't kill that at all, but
those bowls are just there to give them a consolation game
and just one more game. Why not?
Yeah.
And you get some matchups that are usually a little bit different. I wish they, honestly, the one thing I'm sad about with bowl games still is the fact that they are still tied to conferences.
Yeah.
Let's get it really goofy. Let's not set it up where it's like, the fifth team in the Pac-12 will play the fourth team in the Big Ten every year. Who cares? Let's get wacky. We've never seen Western Kentucky play Oregon. Let's see that.
Yeah, exactly. Let's have some fun stuff. But I think that's set up for like years, so it'll be a while before.
That is honestly it's the easiest.
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy for them to set it up. You kind of know based on your... how you finish where you're going to go already. I can see why they do that, but it's just, I get your point too. That's what bothers me. It's like, oh, well, they're going to have to actually move some stuff around because of the, who got in, you know, and it being in the Rose Bowl, but it's like, you still went with the matchup you would have had or whatever.
And honestly, the thing that I hate the most about the bowls is they spread it out so much. I mean, I get it. You want the ratings. You want the games to get their views and stuff. But the fact that the college football season ended at the end of November and you're going to then determine the national champion in January. Could you imagine the regular season for the NFL ending in December and the Super Bowl was in June?
Good God.
It's like, okay, we'll just wait for a little while, and then we'll, like, or I guess it would be March, if I was being fair. I went a little too far, but it's like, give them a week off, let's go, put a bunch of games here and there. You can, like, I understand that they're trying to give exposure to some of these teams, like, the one game that's on Tuesday is Akron and Florida Atlantic. Would it hurt to put two or three games there? Is it going to kill the ratings for Akron and FAU?
No.
I mean, the people that are watching that are either fans of the two teams or degenerate gamblers, and they're going to watch any of the games. So.
Right. It's like, even if you're like a college football hardcore guy, it's like, are you really watching all of these games? Like, no.
I watch them until my perfect streak ends, which is usually that first Saturday.
That's a fair enough reason why.
Which, if you guys want a sure thing, Washington State is favored by 3 against Michigan State. Michigan State wins that by double digits.
Yeah. Where is it at?
It's not at WSU. That's it. Anytime Washington State has traveled, it's been sad.
They get blown out too.
It's in San Diego, but anytime they travel, they get destroyed.
You are not wrong. That's what was so disappointing about them this season. It's like every time they had a chance to prove they were for real, except for against USC, bam, just.
But USC was at home, and so everyone, for real, and then they go to Cal and lose 37-3.
They get whooped by Arizona by like 20 points, and then they get whooped by Washington too. It's like, oh Lord.
So, and they're favored in that game. So there you go.
Of course they would be. You know, how much of points does Mike Leach get you?
I guess 6 points, if not more. Again, I think Michigan State blows them out, but.
Yep. Well, anything else you want to discuss before getting out of here?
I think we covered up a lot. I don't even think we had a format after a while, but I think that went okay.
We didn't, but it was good. It was good just talking about things. And
I missed it.
Yes. It's like, you know, having a conversation about football.
Just to go behind the scenes a little bit, like I don't have the time to do this on like a weekly basis yet. Schedules are working themselves out a little bit better where I'm able to stream with Wes every so often, but poor Sean at times, I just start going after him. I just go after you on Facebook. Cause I need somebody to argue with. So I just find a topic. And I'm like, okay, let's go, Sean. And
that's what these are good for. You can argue with somebody. You can discuss and debate things. It makes these things fun. So it was awesome getting to have you.
Thank you.
Again.
Glad I could come back for a little bit.
Well, as always, you are welcome back anytime you want. And, yeah, thank you, everybody, for listening. Hopefully you stuck with us here for this hour and a half. And if you liked what you heard, you can always hit the subscribe button. At Football to the Max, or you subscribe to the whole W2 Network and get everything that we do, not only what we do, you know, as far as myself or Gary or even Eric over there at the kickoff, you get all the other the partner podcasts, which are great, and they keep continuing to grow in number, so that's awesome as well. Check out that W2Net.com, which is still going, and thank you for last word. On football as well for having us on there. And until Thursday night, Friday morning, we'll see you later, everybody.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.